There, I don't know if you have the product there or not, or if you've heard of the product called WD-40, but I had someone say, and I never really thought about it before, but a friend of mine mentioned, she says, you know, it's called WD-40 because it was the 40th try,
okay,
the 40th formulation before they actually got it right. Hmm. So there was essentially 39 failures before they got to the 40th. So what would have happened if they stopped at 39? You know, so it's, so just because you've tried something and failed doesn't mean you stop. You just shift, you know, adjust it. What's a new choice? What's a new way of doing this? And keep going until you get the right one.
So you're a smart business committed to innovation, to service, and to modern marketing. And you're asking, what's next? Wondering how you can become even more innovative. My name is Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and this is the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Hi, innovators. It's great to be back. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I certainly have, with many exciting things happening here in the InnovaBiz Hive. And we're really looking forward to our Vanuatu Business Retreat coming up in a couple of weeks' time. Now, today I'm excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Sheila Sutherland from Reignite Your Purpose. Sheila's a life and relationship coach. She's an educator, a speaker, and a best-selling author. She's also host of the Reignite Your Purpose podcast. Sheila and I talked about how education and the love of solving puzzles can be used to become more self-aware and recognize limiting behaviors in ourselves. We talk about constantly making choices and being aware of the choices we make and that, in fact, they are the best choice that we can make at the time with all the information that we have then. And also we talked about the benefits of suspending judgment, of being curious and open, and how that leads to new experiments, new things to test, and new ideas. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Sheila Sutherland. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and it's a privilege to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today, all the way from Vancouver in Canada, Sheila Sutherland from Reignite Your Purpose. Now, Sheila is a life and relationship coach. She's an educator. She's a speaker and also a best-selling author. She also hosts her own podcast called Reignite Your Purpose, same as the business name. So welcome to the podcast, Sheila. It's a privilege to have you as a guest.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so excited. I've been looking forward to this for so long, it seems.
Yeah. We have been working on setting schedule for a little while. Mm-hmm. You work with people who want to make positive changes in their life but might feel stuck or don't know how to change. Your passion is to help people connect with who they really are and create that solid foundation, beginning with their relationship with themselves, which you say, and I'm sure that nobody would argue with this, is the foundation upon which we create success in other areas of your life. So is that a good summary?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's like I say, as much as we don't really argue it when somebody says it, that I think it, but sometimes it's one of those common sense things that we kind of forget about. So it's not so common because we always like to think of the outside world more than our inside world.
Hmm. All right. Well, before we start talking about coaching and reigniting your purpose and connecting with self, let's find out a bit more about you as a person. So when you were a young child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a veterinarian.
Oh.
Because since I popped out on this planet, I had this huge love for animals. And I've only spent 1 year of my life not having an animal of some sort around me, and I don't think I can live without them.
Yeah. So did you pursue veterinary science in any form?
Well, I pursued biology. I do have my degree in marine biology, but I had changed it from veterinary medicine because I knew I could not put an animal down when the time came. And I mean, I had a lot of people telling me, you should become a doctor. And I'm like, for the same reason, I don't think I could handle death very well. And so I decided that, no, that's just not an avenue for me. And I had a huge love of oceans as well. So that's where I went to pursue the marine biology.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I can relate to the difficulty in cutting people open or putting animals down. I'd certainly struggle with that. So in the area of marine biology, did you then pursue a career in that? Or how did you
end up? I did originally, and then life kind of got in the way, so to speak, because I ended up right after I graduated from university, I got married. And with his job, we ended up moving to another city, of which I didn't know anyone and I had no connections and I had no idea what I was going to do when we got there. And it was more of a case, I just kind of put that side of me on hold and just did what I had to do to get settled into a new home.
So how did you then end up in life coaching?
Oh my goodness, it was quite a roundabout kind of journey. Because I say, as we moved to the new city, I figured I had to do something. And I thought, okay, well, what else am I good at? And I mean, originally I started, you know, kind of did probably what a lot of people do, went into retail sales. And I worked my way up through management there and went, okay, I'm bored now. I need something else to do. And then I was like, okay, what else am I good at? Oh, numbers. I'm really good at numbers. So then I started working with one of the largest banks here in Canada. And I was an investigations officer for them. So I did a lot of financial investigations, which I found really interesting because I love solving puzzles. It kept my curious mind very busy. But then, of course, eventually I got bored of that. And then I'm like, okay, now what? Because it seems like I'm kind of on this, it was almost like every five-ish years, I'm like, I needed a new challenge. And so then I decided, well, it was one night I had my 14-year-old niece was staying over at my place and I was helping her with her homework. And it was with her science homework. And she says, oh, you know, I sure wish you were my science teacher. And it was like this little light bulb went on over my head and I went, huh, I could go back to school, get my education degree and become a teacher. So that's what I did. And so then I started the whole education route and spent quite a few, I think about a decade teaching high school math and science. And then again, I just felt like I needed a new challenge and I actually stepped away from education for a while. But no matter as hard as I tried to get away from it, it kept pulling me back in some way. And I finally realized that I had to accept the fact that education is my passion. I just had to change the vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's when I discovered coaching because I was in a moment of, what am I going to do with my life? What do I want to be when I grow up? And kind of thing. And I had no direction. I had gone through a couple of traumas that just kind of completely upset my world. And I had no footing at that point. And then I discovered that, oh my God, there's these people out there called coaches that actually help people in this way. And I thought, okay, cool. Let's go look at this. And so I started working with my own coach. And it just, that kind of just ignited something within me that I thought, wow, I can help other people do this because I would, you know, I'm a big observer. I always like to people watch and I would always notice that there's so many people walking around kind of in pain or they're just kind of in this fog. And I thought, wow, you know, I could actually help people through this in some way. And so that's when I started pursuing getting my certifications in that. And I'm still, you know, I'm constantly learning, finding new things that, in regards to the, you know, the human mind that that we can work on. And yeah, that's where I am now.
Great. So really interesting story and journey. And I particularly like that you emphasize education going through all of that because I think that really is a key part of a lot of these things and also of marketing in general, as most of my audience would have heard me say. So tell us about what you do then at Reignite Your Purpose and why do you do that?
Well, if I distilled it down to like one sentence, I would say that I foster the ability to manage emotions that impact human interactions. Because I have a huge passion around our emotions, how we respond to them, how we react to them. And I think it's an area of our lives that most people just don't understand. We think that our emotions drive us when actually it's the other way around, but nobody has taught us how to actually work with our emotions to use them to the best of our abilities. Mm. And so, yes, that's where I'm doing a lot of my study and everything on right now. And the people that I have worked with in regards to this are just, well, I was one of my ex-clients, I saw him post something earlier today saying that I changed his life because his family and his friends all noticed right away that how he shows up differently. And I just, that touches me so much because I'm like, yay, you know, it works. You know, it's not just me thinking that it does. It actually works and people are living just more in control of their lives and not feeling like things are just all over the place.
Yeah. It's quite powerful when what you do creates a life-changing outcome for someone, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best thing ever. Like you can't put a price on that. Mm. You know, I find that it just gives me so much joy and so much gratitude that I have this opportunity to do this and to impact people in this way. And I think in the time in which we live right now, it is just, there's so much opportunity to touch people all over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, because look at us right now. I mean, yeah, we're living
exactly
opposite ends of the globe. And I mean, technology is amazing to bring us together.
Mm. Yeah, it is quite amazing the opportunities that brings with it. I remember in my corporate days years and years ago where we used to send faxes and even before that telexes to one another, and then when very, very expensive video teleconferencing came on board, and that's only possible in, you know, big corporations, that was kind of like, wow, this is amazing. Now we have that at our fingertips for virtually no cost, everybody.
And yeah, it's so immediate.
It is. Now,
that
yeah
was one thing that when my father was still with us, he would always say, he says, I cannot believe how fast information travels. You know, I can say something to you right now, you post something, and minutes later, our family on the other side of the country knows about it.
Hmm.
You know, he said before, it used to be at least a couple weeks if I sent them a letter before they would ever even know. And now it's so instant. And he was always having such a hard time wrapping his head around that fastness of it.
Yeah, yeah, it is quite amazing. And as you say, we connected across different hemispheres and different time zones of the world, and yet here we are talking live to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Now, I'm fascinated. You mentioned managing emotions, how we respond and react, because this morning I was having a conversation in a group in a mastermind that I'm involved in, and the subject was rage and mm-hmm how people suppress rage because in our society it's not an acceptable emotion to display. So often people have suppressed rage because of that, and that can cause all kinds of problems. So talk to us a little bit about managing emotions, and maybe you can use rage as an example.
Sure. Like when I look at the aspect of rage, it didn't start out as rage. I think for me, like, you know, rage is because there's been some experience that has angered you in some way.
Yeah.
But it was because you kept suppressing it that it was almost like it started having this cumulative effect. And that kept building and building and building. And we know when we suppress any kind of emotion, whether it's sadness, you know, depression, anxiety, any of those types of emotions, that eventually you're going to come to a point where the body says enough.
Hmm.
I can't hold anymore, because science is now showing us that the water within our cells actually has the ability to store and record our emotions. well, we only have so many cells in our body. Now, granted, there are billions of them, but there's a finite amount. And eventually your body's going to go, I'm full. I can't take any more of this emotion. And you explode in some way. You know, and that's where I would see now it now becomes rage, right? Because you have all this cumulative stored up, like this pressure building inside this pressure cooker that just needs to come out. So I look at it now that when it comes to our emotions, and, you know, whether it's through our cultural upbringing or society pressures or whatever it is, we have this idea that there are certain emotions that are bad. You know, and then we have other ones that are good. So the bad ones we're supposed to suppress, the good ones are socially acceptable.
Yeah.
I view emotions are just emotions. You know, we give these bigger meanings to them, but it's an emotion that's there to tell us something. There's a message in it. You're being triggered in some way, and this is your message to you to now go, okay, what is this all about? You know, try to take this moment. And this is where managing kind of comes in, is instead of having the knee-jerk reaction, because we're so used to, especially when it comes to the perceived negative emotions, to have this knee-jerk where we speak before we think, or we do something physically before we give ourselves a chance to actually process it. And then we have to go into damage control mode because we're like, ah, crap, that didn't work out. Or I said something I didn't mean to, or, you know, I now hurt somebody's feelings in regards to it. So it's learning really starts with self-awareness, learning how you respond in a certain reaction, and then going, okay, how can I respond in a more healthy way? So it's giving yourself that moment in time, maybe to breathe, maybe to step away from the experience, you know, something just to give yourself a moment to ask yourself, okay, what is this about? Is it really about whoever this person is that's standing in front of me? Or is this about something that happened earlier this day or yesterday that's now coming to the surface? So I say it starts with the awareness and trying to to manage our reaction to it so that it's not so knee-jerk, but to actually respond in a, to lack of a better term, a more intellectual way and trying to essentially kind of almost take that emotional charge out of it.
Yeah.
Because we know when we're emotionally charged, conscious thought kind of ceases. It's like all the brain or all the blood kind of drains out of our brain, so we can't think clearly. So it's giving yourself that moment to just allow that charge to dissipate and then respond.
Yeah, I really like particularly the self-awareness part of that, and the curiosity to say, well, I'm angry, or, you know, it may be I feel down, but I'm not sure why I feel down, or I'm lacking energy today. I'm not sure why I'm lacking energy, and I kind of feel a bit tired and drained and fed up with things. So to have the self-awareness and the curiosity to say, what's that about? And because I think for me, emotions are often, there's kind of the emotions where there's a trigger and an immediate response, which, you know, might be particularly happiness. That's an easy one to recognize. You know, something happens, you smile. That's an immediate response and an emotion that comes out. But then there's ones that, you know, the trigger is a lot more deep-seated. You may not even know consciously what it is. And to have the self-awareness and curiosity to say, what's that about? And dig deeper and perhaps understand something that might be going on there, rather than suppressing the emotion because it's not acceptable to display that right now. You know, obviously exploding or lashing out at people is not a very ecological way to express anger, but there may be other ways to do that. And I mean, I know people, you know, go into the gym and get on the punching bag and pretend their boss or something like that. And that's one way they kind of get the reactions out. But that self-awareness thing, I think, is really important. And I believe you do a lot of work around that.
Oh, definitely. That's where we start. in any of this, you know, and kind of like you say, because I've learned for myself what I know what it feels like when I'm starting to get to that point where I feel like I'm going to get out of control. You know, so I've started to get that awareness where I actually almost feel it like rising up out of my belly into my chest. And it's at that moment in time, whoever I'm with, I have to say, you know what, I need to step away for a moment. I will come back to this conversation, but right now I need to step away and kind of regain my control and composure. And most people that I've said that, they understand. They know that it's not like I'm walking away from the conversation. They know I'm going to come back. They know if I stay there in that moment that it's going to become very heated. Things are going to be said that we don't want or that, you know, we can't come back from. And, you know, and it's not a fun moment, but it's what needs to happen, because I know for myself, that's what I have to do to keep management of those emotions. And it's helpful in regards to relationships, you know, whether it's, you know, friendships, romantic relationships, family, business, whatever. It's really important to be able to recognize when you are triggered and to be able to convey, I need to step away, but I will come back, and then be able to continue in a calm, rational way.
Yeah, and having that self-awareness and the curiosity to find out what's going on, what's the trigger or what's going on for me now that is causing that? Because you mentioned earlier about, you know, taking control and responsibility for your own emotions and the triggers that cause that, rather than just say, well, you know, somebody else's fault. And you also talked about loving solving puzzles. So that all fits together, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, when I look at, I say, the journey that has taken to get me here, to look at it from the outside, it looks very convoluted. But now where I'm sitting, where I am now, like, to me, it all makes sense. Because even though I've had quite a variety of, you know, different experiences in my working career, I can see a certain skills that I've pulled from each one that now seems to come together to make sense.
Yeah, it's good when you can see that, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. You know, and it's, I think maybe if, you know, some people look at go think, oh, I've been all over the place, I've had all these different things. Well, let's look at what you got from each experience. And I bet you can see a pattern of wherever you are now, or if you're looking for something new to be going to, you can see, okay, I want to use all of these different skills. How do I put them all together to now create, you know, something more amazing?
And also in the self-awareness spirit, it's about what experiences have I had, and whatever experiences that I chose to have at a given time, they were the right experiences for that particular time because I made the choice. And so the some accumulation of those experiences today is who I am. So that's quite unique for everybody, isn't it?
Well, and I think when people are looking for that, kind of that unique position that they give to whatever their career is, the main thing is it's been your experiences that brought you there. Whatever, and when you talked about choice is huge, and I think we don't really give it as much credit as we should. You know, in everything that we do, we have made a choice in some way. Now, again, do we say bad choices or good choices? A choice is a choice. I made a choice that served me in that moment. Yeah. Maybe it didn't work out, but I learned something from it. And that's the beautiful part of choice, is that learning aspect.
And also, I think whether or not it worked out, you've taken action. So, you know, whether it's you or me or the audience, you've taken action. You've consciously made that particular choice based on what you knew at the time. So it was the best choice you could make right at that moment in time. And what people don't forget from time to time is, oh, well, we'll just postpone a decision on that. Well, you have made a choice. Mm-hmm. And that probably is not the best choice. So if you actually take control and say, okay, I'm going to choose this, and you may consciously say, well, I'm going to choose to postpone a decision on this and gather more information to help you make the choice in the future, that might be your choice. But to just abdicate the choice is a choice, but that's probably the bad choice.
Oh, definitely. Sorry, I had a thought there and then just kind of disappeared. when we were talking about choice, you know, it's, what was it now that I wanted to say? my mind has completely come black. I'll have to come back to it.
Yeah, but I'm sure it'll come back.
it's, you know, people will they fear choice, right? So they'll be like, oh, I'm scared to make that decision. I'm scared to make a choice. Choices aren't like the monster under the bed. They don't have to be something that you fear. And I think if we can shift our perspective on just what choice means, it's make a choice. If it doesn't work out, make another choice.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a finite amount of choices. You can make a bazillion choices. They don't end until you find what feels the more right one for you. So I think if we can take that fear factor out of it and kind of make choice almost like a game and a curiosity, that in itself will take a lot of the people's anxiety out of, you know, what this whole thing of choice means.
Hmm. And I was talking to somebody, and I don't recall which guest this was. It was one of my recent guests, probably about 5 or 6 episodes ago, about running more experiments. So, you know, their suggestion was that successful people run lots of experiments and 90% of them fail. But that's part of making a choice. And it's not, doesn't matter if they fail. The thing is they've tried something out and they've learned from it. And then they can take those learnings into the next experiment. Which works really well for our science background.
Well, exactly, because I always like to say I treat myself as an experiment.
Mm.
You know, I'm always trying out, you know, new practices and you know, in regards to health, trying out different things and just seeing, well, does it work? Because I'm not going to suggest anybody do anything, or I'm not going to have my clients go through a process unless I've done it myself.
Mm.
Because I want to speak from experience. I don't want to go, oh, I think this sounds good. Maybe you should try it. You know, it's like, no, I would like to encourage you to do this because I had a great reaction doing this.
Yeah.
And maybe you will too, maybe not. But again, if we, you know, it's that curiosity, being getting back in touch with that part of us that we all have, because as children, we that's how we operated as children, is on curiosity. And somehow, again, that seems to get buried.
Yeah.
Gets
trained out of us, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I've been doing a lot of work recently on teaching and training and observing other people who are masters at that, and looking at intuitive learning as opposed to cognitive learning, and that which is how we learned as children. And you think about children between the ages, well, between the time we're born and about 7 years old, they're just sponges. They take everything up, and that's because of that curiosity and because of observing people and just running those experiments.
Definitely. So I highly suggest and cheerlead anyone to experiment, because I'm trying to think of there. I don't know if you have the product there or not, or if you've heard of the product called WD-40.
Oh, yeah, we do have that, yeah.
Okay.
It's fish oil.
Essentially. Yeah, but I had someone say, and I never really thought about it before, but a friend of mine mentioned, she says, you know, it's called WD-40 because it was the 40th try,
okay,
the 40th formulation before they actually got it right.
Hmm.
So there was essentially 39 failures before they got to the 40th. So what would have happened if they stopped at 39?
Hmm.
You know, so it's... So just because you've tried something and failed doesn't mean you stop. You just shift, you know, adjust it. What's a new choice? What's a new way of doing this? And keep going until you get the right one.
Hmm. That's a great analogy. I didn't know that that was how that name came about. But
I just learned that this week. Yeah. I thought that was amazing.
But certainly WD-40 is really well known here. And in fact, in whether it's my bike riding buddies or whether it's anything else, if you know something's broken or not working, that kind of the obvious solution is just spray some WD-40 on it and that will be good.
It's like that and duct tape and that solves all problems.
That's right, yeah. All right. Now, you also have a podcast, as I mentioned at the beginning, yes. Reignite Your Purpose. And I know you're in the process, I think, of pivoting that. So you have been doing a lot of interviews that in the episodes I saw, but you're talking about taking some more solo episodes into that program. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, when I initially started the podcast, it was all solo. And it started becoming not fun for me. It felt like a chore. So then somebody, the coach actually I was working with at the time said, well, why don't you go to the interview format? And I was like, oh my God, I don't know the first thing about interviewing. How can I interview people? I don't even know what that looks like. So we kind of started working through, you know, a script. And then eventually, you know, I made it my own until eventually I kind of just dropped that and found my own flow to it. And I realized that I absolutely love interviewing people because I love talking to people. Mm. I love being able to, you know, it's that curiosity again, asking questions and seeing what they've done with their lives and how they've done it and what they've gone through. And so that's where there's that side of it. And then I had people coming to me going, we really miss the solo podcast. And I'm like, oh, damn it. So I'm still trying to work some of those in. I haven't successfully really gotten that into a schedule yet, but it's getting there. Every once in a while that you'll see a little one pop up of just me. And I'm still working that in of what that looks like because I don't want to move completely away from interviews because I've never really wanted the show to, you know, be all about me. Mm. You know, like it's not the Sheila show. In it, it's I wanted just to, you know, again, to impart knowledge, to be able to educate people or open up their minds or challenge them in their thinking and being able to have other voices do it, both male and female, you know, to hit different perspectives. It's really important for me. You know, so I don't think I'll ever get away from the interviews, but yeah. I'm just going to have smatterings of me in there.
Yeah, I have to say I love doing the interviews. It's exactly like you say, well, first of all, we talked earlier about the ability to reach out and connect with people all around the world through technology, yes. But then, you know, drawing on the experience, the unique experience of some amazing people everywhere in the world and learning from them. And I always come away from the interviews feeling as though I've just had another 1-hour masterclass with an expert. So it's
exactly
awesome. Yeah. And yeah. I can relate to it. So I do the occasional solo podcast and I still struggle a little bit with that. I'm not sure I find it boring, but it's hard work to come up with something that I think will be of value to the audience and at the same time easy for me to, you know, naturally go on there and talk, whereas the interview is just, as you say, it's a conversation with somebody.
Well, and I think, just a natural state for all of us is we're all a little bit of voyeurs, mm-hmm. you know. So when we're having an interview like this where we're just sitting down, we're having coffee, and the people listening to this are, it's like they're eavesdropping at the cafe, mm-hmm. you know. So, and I think that is more interesting than having just somebody talk at you. Yeah. You know, for a certain amount of time.
That's right, yeah. What I'm trying to do is work a little bit more on my storytelling skills and thinking, yes. Okay, what is there something that happened in the last week or two that I can turn into a story and that becomes a metaphor that hopefully will add value to people. So that's where I'm going with that now. But, yeah, so there's some exciting things coming down the track because we do have another series coming up shortly, but I'll talk about that later.
Oh, awesome. You know, because I don't know, again, if you've heard of the organization of Toastmasters, but it's, you know, it's a, you know, public speaking organization. And so I'm a member of that. And so whenever I do any of my solo podcasts, I really try to work on, you know, using different types of voice and tones and really trying to like you say, make it almost like it's a monologue or a play, or, you know, just kind of really playing with it to make it more auditorily pleasing, you know, for the other person.
Hmm. Oh, I hadn't thought of that, actually. I'm a member of Toastmasters. I hadn't thought of using my Toastmaster speech as a training ground for the solo podcast.
Why not?
It's an experiment to conduct.
I've actually turned a couple of my solo podcasts into my Toastmaster speech and the other way around. It's been quite interesting.
Hmm. All right. Well, this has been really fascinating. I appreciate that we're getting on a little bit in time. So I'd like to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's designed to help our audience who are primarily innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions. Hopefully we'll get some really insightful answers from you that is going to inspire people to go out and do something awesome as a result.
So, yeah, no pressure to be here. Insightful.
So what's the number one thing you think anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think really to have that open mind and open heart, you know, kind of drop the judgment and the idea that we already know it all. Because I think sometimes we block our own innovation and creation because we think, oh, I've already done that, or I know better, or, you know, whatever that dialogue is that's going on in our head. And I guess it comes back to some things that we've already said already is the curiosity, is just be open and curious.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. Yeah. And I love the drop the judgment bit as well, because I think judgment tends to be in our way all the time and we should get out of our own ways.
Well, it really shuts down the ability for communication.
Hmm.
And, you know, depending on what it is that, you know, you're trying to create it. If that judgment is in there, it's like it's got a strangle, a hold on that communication, and it just means you're not going to move forward.
Hmm. Love it. All right. What's the best thing you've done to develop new products or new ideas?
Well, this is where now I have to drop the judgment for myself because Lord knows, being a Virgo, I'm a highly judgmental of my own self. And it is what I call intuitive hits, where I will just, you know, you kind of get in that moment of flow and you have all these amazing ideas that come up and you need to write them down. Write every single one of them down. Don't judge them as you're writing. Just get them down on paper to kind of get them out of your head, because 10 minutes from now, you're going to forget what that thing was. And then you can come back to them and explore them a little bit more. Not saying that every single one of them is going to be amazingly brilliant, but there could be one in every 20, say, that is. But give them a moment of time to, you know, to percolate, to actually look into it, to explore them a little bit, and who knows what you might be able to come up with. Because I think that as, you know, human energetic beings, we are receiving information all the time, but we don't pay attention to it. And it's the ones that pay attention that come up with the most amazing innovations.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the idea of writing them down, no judgment, keeping a record, coming back and reflecting on what was I thinking when that came into my head and how can that be developed further. Mm-hmm. And often it triggers other ideas. Recently, another guest on the podcast came up with a similar suggestion and talked about also taking photographs of things that, you know, they find fascinating and adding that to the collection of idea journal or whatever you might call it. So yeah, great suggestion. So what's your favorite tool or system for improving productivity and allowing you to be more innovative?
Well, now I think probably, I don't know if someone would think this is innovative, because it's actually a tool that's been around for several decades, and it's very low tech, but it's called the Eisenhower box.
Ah, yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah. I use it all the time.
Oh, there you go. I just find it, in regards to time management and being able to prioritize things, I have been able to increase my productivity hugely. You know, there was a moment in time, it was a year ago, where a friend of mine had to go off on holidays, and he asked me if I would take over his classes, his business, and some of his training that he was doing. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And then I looked and went, oh, crap, I've got my own classes, business, and training to do, and then, you know, in Toastmasters, and now I'm taking on all of his. And I thought, oh, my God, how am I going to do this and remember everything? And it's only because I used the Eisenhower box that I was able to keep myself on track to be able to get everything done. And so I'm a huge cheerleader for it. I have tried other apps and things, and they just don't work for me, because as I sit right here, I've got my Eisenhower box up on the wall next to me, and it's just something I can look over, and I know exactly what my next thing is that I need to do and what's coming up, and I don't have to be like logging into my phone every 2 minutes. Because Lord knows, the moment I touch my phone, I'm distracted by some other notification on there. So, yeah. You know, having the app on the phone does not help with productivity.
All right. So we'll have a link to some references about the Eisenhower box or the Eisenhower system in the show notes here. But just as a reminder for those people that didn't, because I think I had a guest a little while ago talk about this, it essentially puts things into four quadrants and assesses impact and urgency.
Yes.
Yeah. So the things that are urgent and high impact are the things that should get most of your focus.
And because a lot of times we work on the easy things, which aren't exactly probably the most urgent, but they're the easy to get done. So we're like, oh, look, I've been productive today.
That don't move the needle. Yeah. So exactly. And then there's the not urgent but important. And then I think, I'm not sure, is this Eisenhower? Because the guest I spoke to talked about layering over the top of, because you talked about easy and harder. So he talked about fast and longer term. So something that is fast and high impact is the first thing you should be doing. And then there might be slow and high impact. So you need to define what is the next step to move that forward.
Yeah, it sounds like it's either another version or, somebody's adjusted it in some way. But, yeah, usually Eisenhower, you've got the quadrants of, you know, not important, important, urgent, and not urgent. I always fight, adjust it to however is going to work best for you. Use whatever words you want that resonate better, you know, for you. But use it. You know, I just find it a great system.
All right. Thanks for that. Now, what's the best way for you to keep a client on track?
Just the time in which we live, which is everything is a distraction. And it really is. So it's learning how to manage or reduce our distractions. And this is where I find working in what I would call like timed chunks really help. You know, because we kind of teach our brain to almost be a little ADD, right? Because, oh, squirrel, and we're off on this tangent. Oh, look, there's another squirrel. And so sometimes we have to train ourselves to, I'm going to have 20 minutes of focused attention on whatever this is. And you set the timer, whatever you have to do. So you do that, turn off the notifications on your phone, on your computer, and do it. And the more you do that, the longer the amount of time that you can do. And I mean, and there are even apps for that as well, because I've tried a couple of them. But it's just that timed component of retraining your brain how to focus.
Yeah, great advice. And again, we talked a lot about self-awareness today. A lot of the distraction stuff is having that self-awareness, and I'm getting much better at it because I love to chase shiny new toys and squirrels, but I'm getting much more aware now. Hang on, I'm doing distraction now. What's going on here? And look at refocus and also being curious about why am I doing distraction right now? Because often it's because I'm bored with what I'm doing, or perhaps it's getting challenging, or I've hit a roadblock or something like that. So rather than deal with that that's in front of me, I go to a distraction. So that's great advice to figure out way how to recognize when you're doing distraction and managing that.
Well, exactly. It goes back to what we said, just, what is this about? Asking why. and being truly honest with yourself, because, you know, lying to yourself is not going to serve anybody.
No.
You know, it's like, who are you trying to impress, right?
That's right, yeah.
If you want to move yourself forward, you have to be brutally honest. Yep. And if you're sitting here and going, what is not working? And write it down and go, okay, now I know what's not working. What's my plan to make this work? And then finding out your strategies that you need to use around that.
Hmm. Great advice. All right. Now, what's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
Depending on whatever industry you're in, I always say find one small thing, which can be something that's very common sense, but because it's common doesn't mean that people do it. You know, honestly, because common sense is not so common.
Yeah.
So find that one small thing that seems to be missing in your industry and then do that. Because the one thing, I'll give you the example of what I have done in regards to my podcast is, I talked a lot to a lot of people about what their process was. And then I got thinking about, well, what would it be like if I sent every single one of my guests a thank you card? And so I started testing it. And after I had done interviewing them, I would write the card out right at that moment. I would send it out to them. And the response that I have received back has been so huge. And so many have told me that differentiated myself from any other interview that they have done, because it keeps me memorable. So that's where I say, whatever it is that you're working on, find a way to make you memorable and then do that.
Great advice. Yeah. I love that. Stay memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Sheila, thanks for getting us through the buzz. Now, what's the future for you and for Reignite Your Purpose?
Well, for me, as I say, I'm in the middle of doing a couple of new certifications, so I'm excited to get those done and just getting them more out to the world, because it's just solidifying more around the emotional intelligence and positive psychology and how we can work with that to really enhance and get our lives thriving. So there's going to be more of that. I want to delve more into group sessions, so having like group programs that we can do online, so that way it doesn't matter if you're local or not, doing it that way. And then another thing I'm working on is just doing more public speaking. You know, getting out in front of more people, and well, being interviewed right here is one of those things. That was my big focus for this year, and I think so far I've been interviewed more times this year than probably the last 3 years combined. So it's just, you know, getting out there, and so, because, you know, if people don't know I'm here, kind of hard for them to work with me.
So I'm
working on the visibility factor.
It's hard to hard to be memorable if you're not visible.
Well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, that whole common sense thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, that's an interesting discussion to have, because a lot of people feel that marketing and sales is a little bit icky, and they feel as though they're pretending to be a used car salesman, and they have negative feelings about that. But really, it's about, well, we talked about education a lot today, and it's about educating your target audience, providing exceptional value to them, being, you know, really valuable and relevant, and then giving them an experience that is actually memorable for them.
Well, exactly, because when it comes to feeling icky about sales, it's usually because you've got the focus on yourself.
Yes.
Once you put the focus on the other person and what value you're giving to them, it becomes not so icky.
That's right. Yeah. And like my business coach says quite a lot, get over yourself.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right. So what's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in their field?
To me, the most invaluable piece is get a mentor. You know, find someone who you can learn from. You know, a lot of times we're scared to ask, you know, ask people for help. Because they're like, oh, what are people going to think of me if, you know, if I'm asking for help and I don't already know this? Well, the thing is, we all have to start somewhere. And the people who have gained a certain amount of success, they want to help people follow in their footsteps. They don't want to like hold all that success for just for themselves. So find someone to shorten your learning curve, to bounce ideas off of, because as an entrepreneur, it's really easy to isolate ourselves and to feel like we have to do this alone, but we don't. Mm. You know, I always say that, you know, there's that saying of it takes a village to raise a child. I think it takes a village to raise an adult as well. Mm. And so it's create that village of people around you, that your inner circle or whatever, you know, your tribe, whatever word you want to use, and, you know, bounce your ideas off of them, create masterminds with them where you can come and create and mentor each other. Because look at the whole idea of a mastermind, of the collect, it's the intellectual collective where you can bring all these different different perceptions and ideas and different ways of looking at things together. Wow, it's sky's the limit at that point.
Yeah, great advice. And like you say, we're not in this alone. And no. I can't remember whether it was Einstein or Newton that talked about standing on the shoulders of giants. So, you know, yes. Anything that famous people or highly successful people create, they're basically building off what others have done before. So, you know, that's the whole principle of mentorship in my mind.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Sheila. This has been really great. Where can people reach out to you and say thanks for what you've shared with us today?
Well, you can email. So it's just Sheila@reigniteyourpurpose.com, or connect with me on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram. On my webpage at reigniteyourpurpose.com has all of my social links. There's also a page on there where you can contact me directly, and it comes directly to me. There's not like a middle person, you know, in the middle of there to filter anything. If you just want to chat or talk, or maybe talk about something that we've talked about here today and you want to go deeper, send me a message. I have no problem getting on Skype and just having a chat with you.
Great. Well, we'll put links to all of those places in the show notes so people can easily just click on them and get in touch.
Beautiful.
Now, finally, who would you like me to interview on a Future and Over Buzz podcast, and why?
Well, being that we were talking about icky sales, one of my best friends, and he's one of the business coaches that I have worked with myself, because I was one of those that thought that sales were icky. Yeah. And I always thought, the first thing I would say is, I'm not a salesperson. Don't talk to me about sales. Mm. And he's like, you realize you've been in sales essentially since you popped out on this earth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? What do you mean? He says, like, what do you think when a baby's crying?
Yeah.
They're selling that they need something. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. So yeah, it's my friend Joe De Silva. He is a business trainer. And the one thing he says that I always love, in his 45 years of working in sales, he's never sold a thing.
Mm.
He just knows how to get people to buy.
Yeah.
And so it's all about shifting your perspective. And he's a master at doing that in regards to sales. So if you have a time where you want to talk around business and sales, he's the guy.
Sounds fascinating. So Joe, if you happen to be listening to this, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the Innova Buzz podcast, courtesy of Sheila Sutherland.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I'll warn him. Yes.
Yes, please do that. So thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us today on the Innova Buzz podcast, Sheila. It's been really generous of you, and I've really enjoyed this and learnt a lot, got a lot of ideas and prompts that I've noted down, and we'll certainly share that in the show notes with our audience. So I wish you all the best for the future, for Reignite Your Purpose, for the podcast and the changes in the podcast you're making, and let's keep in touch.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been a pure honor to be here, and I can't believe how fast the time has gone. Yeah. And that's just a sign of a great conversation. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks, Sheila.
That was another very informative and inspirational episode, and I really enjoyed talking with Sheila. I hope you enjoyed listening to us as well and got something out of this episode. All the ideas and tips that Sheila shared with us can be found at innovabiz.co/Sheila Sutherland. That is SHEILASUTHERLAND. All lowercase, all one word, innovabiz.co/Sheila Sutherland. You'll also find contact information for getting in touch with Sheila there. Now, Sheila suggested I interview Joe Da Silva, a sales and business success trainer, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. So, Joe, keep an eye on your inbox for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Sheila Sutherland. Stay connected. Head on over to iTunes or Stitcher or Pocket Casts and subscribe to the InnovaBuzz podcast so you make sure you'll never miss another episode. We'd also love you to leave us a review, because what you think matters. Take some of the ideas you've heard today and apply them in your business. Any thoughts, ideas, suggestions, or questions, share them in the comments below the blog post. And remember, if you want to get better marketing results than you ever have, join our fantastic LinkedIn community at the Transformational Marketing Academy. All you have to do is go to innovabiz.co/TMAC. It's free to join. Hope to see you there soon. Until next time, I'm Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember to be awesome and keep innovating.